Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're continuing in Philippians chapter 2. The theme of Philippians is fellowship. And it centers around our participation together. Our hearts or spirits are already joined together by the presence of His Spirit. The problem is our flesh, our ego, our pride. What I want versus what the Lord wants. And so the more we fellowship together, the more problems are going to arise, especially since we rub up against each other and we let down our guard and people will offend us. People will hurt our feelings. But I can guarantee you, and this is like a summary statement of what the Bible is teaching about fellowship, is if you walk into a church door or walk into the door of a place where Christians fellowship, if you're thinking about how people are going to treat you and the sensitivity to that issue, you're dead in the water right there. It's not about us. Paul mentioned earlier in the chapter that Jesus is our illustration. Let this mindset be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. How did he approach this earthly life? What was his attitude? He sacrificed everything for the spiritual well-being of the world. So when we come together, it's really the sacrifice of the spiritual well-being of other people that is of priority. But he said in verses 12 and 13, you know, your top priority is to work out your own salvation, not somebody else's, but your own salvation with fear and trembling because it's God who is working in you. So while this salvation process is being worked out as we fellowship together, he says in verse 14, as he relates that which contaminates our fellowship, he says, be continually doing all things without murmurings and disputings. All things, not just church things, not just Christian things. All, do everything. When God is working in us to change us and transform us, there's a lot of garbage that he brings to the surface. A lot of stuff. It seems to be a popular phrase nowadays, you know. What's happening in your life? Stuff. My stuff. You know. God's dealing with my stuff. God brings it to the surface. He's going to place us in and among people, not only so that we can be fed spiritually and be blessed by the ministry of the Spirit of God, but also things brought out in us because of our relations with other people. So at my age, now, I take comfort in what people used to tell me my gift was in the body of Christ, that I was the sandpaper of adversity. That every time I rubbed up against somebody, it caused adversity for them. God uses us to bring to the surface those things in our hearts that we're not even aware of. In most cases, be continually doing everything without grumbling about it and without disputing. To complain about people and things and activities and circumstances is to complain against God. He's in charge of everything. He's designed everything for us to walk with him in the situation. And as we saw, and we will see later in Philippians 4, Paul says that we should pray. Whatever is occupying the attention of our mind, we are to pray and give it to the Lord with thanksgiving. That's not a concept to practice. That's a grateful heart that says, man, I'm glad I can just give it to the Lord. I'm glad he's right there. I can give everything to him. That causes me to be thankful. I don't have to carry it myself. Last week we saw the representation of fellowship. We are to do all things without murmurings and disputings. You see, our testimony of the Lord to one another and to the world, if we believe and know that God is in charge, there's no reason to complain about anything. As the condition of the world continues to get worse, there will be more and more people complaining about more and more things. And with the believer having the living hope living within him, there's no reason to complain. A situation is neither good nor bad. It's the Lord. That's all we need to know. The situation is to make me weaker so that I rely more on his strength. The purpose of it, this representation, is we represent him in the world, that in order that you might become blameless, that is, no accusations against you that can hold up in court, and harmless, or more literally sincere, unmixed, unadulterated. You're not two different people. Not Christian in church and then worldly outside. In order that you might become blameless and sincere, secondly, that you might become the children of God, we represent the fact that we're God's children. He's our Father. And if you are a physical father, you know that your kids, at least I do, I'll speak for myself, is my kids, I have trouble with the fact that when they go out, they represent their dad. And when they represent dad, not in the way that dad wants to be represented, they hear about it. You don't just represent yourself, you represent your mom and your dad. You represent your brothers and your sisters. If you're a Christian, you represent Christ and the brothers and sisters in Christ. We're his children. Children of God without fault. That's what the word rebuke means. No blame, no fault. Then for today, the location in which we are these things, that we are should be blameless and sincere and children of God without blame or fault. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Literally it reads, in the middle of a crooked and generation which has become perverse. We were just talking about this the first hour. Just in the natural, if it were possible for me mentally to be perfectly in line with God and thinking about him all of the time, I am still going to be affected by the crookedness and perversion of the world. The word for crooked is the medical term for the curvature of the spine. The world's crooked. It's not straight. And the word perversion literally means to turn away thoroughly from that which is good, to turn away thoroughly to that which is corrupt. But it's in the perfect tense. the word perversion. It has become, started in the past, Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, and has continued on and will continue to get worse and perverse. Kind of rhymes, but I didn't mean it that way. The world's getting worse and more perverse. There are places that you and I would choose not to go to just because of the perversion that goes on in the place. There are influences in certain places that are crooked and perverse. And I know that if I go there, I'm going to be influenced by it. And yet, the deception in the world is that I can walk out this door and walk down the street and not think that this town is crooked and perverse. But it is. I can stay inside this building. And the spiritual system of the world and the material system in which we have to work with, it's crooked and perverse. We cannot receive the Jesus of the Western culture and then bring our Gentile paganism into the church so that everything is the same. We're pagans. We're Gentiles. God has saved us and called us out of a pagan lifestyle. It's crooked. It's perverse compared to the holiness and the good things of God. So, like we said the first hour, God has called us out. Or as our text tells us, be unmixed. We are to be this, and that's why the emphasis on the word become, in order that you might become blameless and sincere, children of God without blame or fault. In the middle of a crooked and generation which has become perverse, has turned away more and more from holiness as time goes on. Our part in this location, the manifestation of the Spirit of God, among whom you are shining as luminaries or lights in the world. Notice the modal participle. By holding firm the word of life. So first of all, it says in our the manifestation of what's coming out of our lives is that we are shining, not should shine, we are shining as lights in the world. Jesus said you cannot light a candle and put it under a basket or under a bed, try to hide it. Light's going to shine. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world, one of many places in which Jesus said he is the light of the world. And as we have emphasized many times, John chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, where John says this, the judgment is not going to be about words. It's going to be about the response to the light. That when Jesus came into the world, men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil, so they stayed away. Their deeds were corrupt. But those who are practicing the truth, they come to the light. They're drawn to the light. So it's really, if we can think of it like a radar screen, my judgment's not going to be about me speaking up for myself. Or what do you have to say for yourself? Well, you see, Your Honor, there was this guy, and he totally deceived me, and I really have a good heart, and I really, you know, it's not going to be like that. On the radar screen, where was I in relation to the light? John 1:9 says that the light, Jesus Christ, is illuminating every person that's coming into the world. Every person will be enlightened by the Spirit of God. So much so that Paul says in Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18, that people took that enlightenment and the non-believers perverted it to worship the creature more than the Creator. They've perverted the truth because they've rejected the light and loved their darkness. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, 2 Timothy 1:10, Paul said, "Now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." It's light, spiritual light, which emphasizes verse 16, the modal participle here of the method that God uses. It explains, if we are shining lights in the world, what does that mean? That's what this modal participle is. By holding firm the word of life. The term word of life in this context is the gospel, the word about life. It says, by holding firm. Now, some teachers will teach that it means by holding out or holding forth. So, we preach the gospel. We go out and we evangelize. Except that the preposition epi that's used in the text, it means upon, holding down the word of life. In other words, God uses my life. He himself is the light. I am not the light. He himself is the light, and his light shines as I hold firm to the word of life, to the truth of the gospel. See, it's not what I go out and do. It's who I am. Everywhere I go, Christ in me is the light of the world, to the point that Jesus even said, "You are the light of the world." Why? Because he is in me, not because I become my own light. And it's a factual statement. The light is shining. We are shining as luminaries or lights in the world. And what is shining forth is our holding firm to the word of life. That word about Christ, who is life himself. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set him apart from everything else that's in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, but do it in meekness and fear." I've always maintained that if someone can't see Christ in me or they're not receiving Christ through me, I'm not going to advertise. We have a little joke that when we see cars speeding down the freeway at 100 miles an hour with Christian stickers all over it, we look at each other and say, "Well, at least we know the car is saved. We don't know about the occupants." I found out that there's an old saying that has to do with boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. He who loves loudest loves least. The public display of affection, that's it. That's all surface and there's nothing below that. So I found that people didn't know I was a Christian unless I advertised it. A little button on my cap, you know. Sticker placed on my forehead. "Hey, you, do you notice I'm a Christian? Ask me, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." But I found out that when I did not make that known, people didn't know I was a believer. It takes time to get to know people, what their vocabulary is, what their attitudes are, what their approach to life is. And if they have a peace and a hope, that's strange, you know? You should be upset. You know, if Obamacare kicks in on Tuesday, you got to be worried about that, you know? See, but some people accuse us of having a side door into this thing because everybody knows the bill's going to sneak us in the hospital side door if we ever needed it. But this text spoke loud and clear to me. Be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you to the people who ask you. I thought that was strange. Nobody asked me, so I had to advertise. You're not asking, you know. But it's for the hope that's within you. You're different. Not different weird, but different. You talk different. You live different. Your approach to life is different. You have a peace about you. You have an attitude about life about you that is different. You should be upset and you should be worried. What's with you? That's the greatest compliment, spiritual compliment that a person can give, is to come up and say, what's the reason? Why are you like the way you are? Why do you have confidence and hope? Why are you so at peace? Are you just like a mellow person all the time? Is that just your disposition? What's with you? So instead of advertising, I wanted it to be like Paul said, and we saw it in Philippians chapter 1, that his life goal is that Christ would be manifested in him, whether through life or through death, that Christ would be magnified through his body, that people would see Christ, not me try to show him off. This is not Jesus. And it means that his influence must increase and I must decrease. I must deny myself and step out of the way, realizing that I, just in my natural living of life, whether it's going to the store, picking up people at school, or whatever the case may be, I am going out in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. No matter how good it looks, no matter how good it feels. And Christ is shining his light through me. Hopefully I'm not getting in the way to where people see distractions from the light. But as he shines his light through me, his light will shine on that which I am holding firm to for my own life. It's for my survival. And it's a beacon light to anybody around who's sinking and needs to be rescued. They can see the lighthouse. But my concentration is on my relationship with the Lord, not on salesmanship, not on putting on a performance. Even though I say that it's wrong for us to look at Christianity as receiving Christ and taking him with me wherever I go, because true Christianity is me going wherever he goes. But it's true that wherever I go, whether it's his leadership or whether I'm doing it my own way, I'm taking Christ with me wherever I go. His light is shining. And the more time I spend with him, the more changes that he brings about in my life, the more the word of life will be held forth to a people and to a generation and to a world that is lost. We're not dealing with religion here. We're dealing with lost souls. And we should care about their spiritual eternity, not to the point of us going out and grabbing them by the neck and trying to get them saved, but by us walking with Christ so that they get the full impact of the light. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the light which enlightens our hearts with the truth of the gospel. We pray that you would cause us to realize that you have called us out to be your people, to walk in the light as you are in the light, as we have fellowship one with another, as John said in 1 John chapter 1. So as we have fellowship together and we walk in the light together, as we confess our sins and receive forgiveness for our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that a lost and crooked and perverse world would see the light and the hope and the peace and ask concerning the message of life itself. That we would have opportunity to share, not because of our goodness or any methods that we use, but because people see Christ in us. And in order for people to see Christ in us, we must protect that relationship, that it not be tainted by our own selves, our own flesh, and by the things of the world, but that we continually come to be cleansed by the hearing of your word, that the light would shine clearly to all around us. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.